Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, that you would anoint my lips to speak the message you have put on my heart for this church, for your church, Lord. I ask that you would block any distractions, Lord, and that this would encourage and edify this church body to build up those who have ears to hear, Lord, the special message you have for each individual here, Lord. For such a time as this, have your will in your way, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful." The message of this title is, give me a reason, hope. Give me a reason, hope. Because we live in unprecedented times. And it seems to only intensify as this year has progressed. And many, when they're in the trial of life, of this life, they can feel utterly hopeless. Many of you are in the thick of things right now. Some of you have shared your own stories of what's going on in the past year in your life. The hurts that are there, the deep scars, the questions. Yet around the world even, we hear of famines and people suffering and sickness and job loss and economic uncertainty. Natural catastrophes, uncertainty for futures, wars and rumors of wars spread like wildfire. From a worldly perspective, that can leave little hope for the future. The world's telling you climate change is going to destroy this world in the near future if we don't change things now. I think that's part of the deception. The world leaders all have joined in a madhouse as all decisions seem to come under the umbrella of understanding to work cooperatively together to accelerate these 2030 UN sustainable goals. Those meetings are happening this week where they're going to strengthen their resolve to hit those timings. And I think of those in this world whose hope is in this world, those who are hoping in the leaders of this world, and those who feel like they walk on a tightrope, just waiting to be surprised or caught off guard with the next thing that comes at them. I've been thinking lately this past week, even though my mind was clouded with being sick, but I was thinking of what is actually going on in this world today, where the tensions are high everywhere. And you can feel that. Tensions are high everywhere. Everyone's on an edge. And I just said the world economy is certainly treading water. And we see things prophetically unfolding, such as potential normalization agreements with Saudi Arabia and Israel. That's part of Ezekiel 38. Woven in again with peace talks with Israel and the Palestinian Authority. That's on the agenda this week with UN. We know three red heifers that are still eligible. And months away, we are months away from one of them being sacrificed for the consecration of a new temple. If that happens, folks, your eyes best be opening. This is a matter of biblical fact when we consider our culture in light of what Jesus says, of all the things that would be happening in Matthew 24. But I think of the birth things that are intensifying. And just look in the last few months of the destruction worldwide, folks. God is shaking things to get your attention. I think about the earthquake in Turkey that killed thousands. the flooding in Libya this past week, where thousands have been killed. The earthquake in Morocco, where thousands have been killed. The fires all across this world. The fires in Hawaii killed thousands. Folks, we're talking thousands of people who breathe their last breath and their eternal destiny was sealed. That's the most scariest part for those who are apart from Christ. And those things that I share, knowing that God's wrath is coming. In fact, I think we see those things unfolding and God is allowing those things. But churches everywhere need to wake up. Many Christians go through life right now as though this world will continue as it always has. And one look around at the absolute moral collapse and lawless society we face, we should realize that the only hope we have is in Jesus. But instead, it's just go through the routine rather than warning and watching for the Lord. Remember, there's five virgins were wise. Five virgins had their wicks trimmed and their oil filled, and the other five were not. And Scripture's clear that it says in 2 Timothy 3:13 that evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And even those who have lived their lives willfully ignoring God, the presence of God in their life, ignoring His word, ignoring His warnings, they've become acutely aware that the system of this world is broken. It is broken. And it's not repairable by any measure of reform. Nothing's going to fix it. It's the continuous slide. And it's a polarized world. Like no politician that gets elected, and if we have an election in 2024, is going to fix the polarization that exists in this country. You do realize that. Everyone's on this side or this side, and there's just no meeting. There's nothing there. And I think that's just indication of come Lord Jesus, right? The lawless ignore the rules and the law. Many openly defy and mock the living God. And everyday conduct makes all these conditions obvious. And so the hopelessness of the world system, apart from God, becomes ever more clear. Each and every day grows worse as we see the formation of a beast system that will be used to conquer the people of this world as we race towards its climax. And you're alive for this time. How cool is that? Yeah. How cool is that? The word of God has warned for millennia to an unbelieving world that this will occur. Scripture is warning. It's speaking out and it's coming to life before our very eyes. But when the world can say and feel hopeless, I mean, at times we can even feel some of that despair creep in our own lives. We let it creep in, and often we feel that lack of hope because we have given in to fear, right? We live in worry and doubt, and we cannot be provoked as Christians or moved by fear. That's from the enemy, right? Perfect love casts out all fear. We've not given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And we made to make sure that we have not shifted our trust from Him to something else. I'm learning that more and more, and I shared that this morning with another pastor. I said, you know, my world has been shaken this past year, and I've learned that I've had my trust in a lot of other things than the Lord in certain areas of my life. And I'm learning that I have to give Him all of it, not parts of it, not compartmentalize it, but all of it. He says, give me all your heart, not little pieces, not like, I'll give you 75% of it, but this 25%, I'm going to hold on to it for myself. He wants it all. He wants it all. Psalm 9:9-10 says, the Lord will also be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. He has not what? Forsaken those who seek Him, right? So God is shaking things and refining us for His purposes, for His glory. He's trying to get us to lay a hold of Him and trust in Him with all our hearts, right, and lean on our own understanding. He's stretching us. He's kneading us, right, that potter and clay we've talked about before, to become effective vessels for His purpose. Fit, right, for the Master's use, not our use. And we know that His word has decreed how things will come together in the last days. And so are we embracing His word or are we rejecting that? Are we embracing this time which He's placed us on this earth or are we just existing? Are we seizing the opportunity to walk by faith, or are we seizing the opportunity to walk by sight? When I say walk by sight, I'm saying like you walk with your own things that you can trust in, your own senses. But you have an extra sense that's inside you, and that's the Holy Spirit, who takes you into a pathway that you don't even see. He knows how to navigate, you know, those stormy waters. He knows how to navigate those stormy waters. He knows what's ahead.
Yes.
He knows of the rocks below. He knows of the ice caps and all those other things. And the reality is the currents of this world are very strong. They are very strong. They are run through the spirit realm, as we see in Ephesians 6. And we were sharing that at the dinner table, how that veil, that spiritual veil, has certainly thinned in this past year and year, the last few years, to be honest with you. But we use the shield of faith, right, Jack? You have a shield of faith. That's where we're rooted in. We're rooted in the hope, in the anchor of our soul. We're tethered to it. So when the current gets strong, we stay tethered to that anchor. And we're able to use that shield of faith to quench those fiery darts when the enemy fires them away. Psalm 33:20 says, we put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Because the enemy of our soul, Satan, wants to isolate you as an individual. He wants to wear you down, bombarding you with your mind, with thoughts and beliefs, and form strongholds until you capitulate. Until you bow down. Until you conform. And Jesus said, hey, it's not easy. Deny self, right? Pick up your cross, follow me. He also said in Matthew 7, enter by the narrow gate. It's not a wide gate. It's a narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by in it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. It's difficult, but it's not impossible because he's the way maker. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, right? But there are few who find it. There are few who find it. So the battle intensifies every day, folks. I realize that. As time draws near, and here is the exhortation to be steadfast. To be steadfast, to continue on, to endure, to persevere. Remember that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Do not give up. Don't throw in the towel, right? Hardship's a reality. Don't throw it in. Now, I realize sharing, and normally the beginning of my messages, I feel often very much, I've said this before, like Jeremiah, where it's just like, ugh, you know? Here it comes again, right? You know, here comes the doom, right? Jeremiah was warning of the destruction ahead. And even if you are a watchman and you're sharing those things, it can very much be like, here comes that guy again, or here comes that girl again. But the message has always been found, if you hear when you're listening, there's doom up front, but that's not the only message. There is a message of hope that is shared each and every week. It's the hope we have in the Lord. So my question is, are we conveying a message of hope to a world that is ever spiraling in a state of despair, where hopelessness is just people have thrown in the towel. Even in my industry, I was just reading an article where I'm in, you know, you guys know I work in the secular world in mortgages, and it's millennials and Generation Z. They've just thrown in the towel on the idea of homeownership. Just what's the purpose? Hopelessness, right? Hopelessness. It's never going to change. The reality is, no. The Christian message, folks, is one of hope. For those who have ears to hear it, eyes to see that the reality of this world and its self-inflicted destruction that's coming because God's allowing it to happen. So it's truth. What is truth? What is truth? Pilate asked that to Jesus. What is truth? The truth is, it's not falling apart, it's falling into place. This world, as you see it, is temporary. It's temporary. Everything is subject in it to decay. We're moth and rust, right? We are dust and we turn to dust as humans, right? But there's a future for us, for those in Christ. Yet according to God's promises, we long for a new world in which righteousness dwells forever. In Revelation, John saw a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. And here's the point, and you need to hear it too, Fred. Behold, I am making all things new. I am making all things new. God is going to dwell with his people forever. We as Christians long to see God's kingdom come. His will done in earth and in heaven. We long for redemption of our bodies. I slept last night and I was laying in my bed. I'm like, man, my back is just really hurts. I am looking forward to a painless experience when I get that new body. Amen? Amen. Your neck won't be hurting anymore, brother. Amen. The book of Revelation for the believer, it strengthens the weary heart. That promise that I'm making all things new. Listen, new. I'm making all things new. No more death. We've all lost loved ones here, and it hurts. It hurts. Where you feel like you don't have the strength to go on any longer. The sorrow. The decaying of our bodies, the decaying of things of this world, the toils with a broken window. God is surely going to make all things new. And guess what? He's already started it within you. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. The Creator shined his glorious light, his saving light into our hearts that we could see his glory and let it shine through us. That's this treasure that we have in this jar of clay. We have a great future. There's a future for you. There is hope. That is hope. It's real and it's living. And biblical hope is built on faith. Hope is the earnest anticipation that comes with believing something good, and he is a good God. Hope is a confident expectation that stems from our faith. It's a peaceful assurance. It's a blessed assurance that something hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Romans 8:24 through 25 says, "For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope," right? Right? Faith, not by sight, right? We walk by faith, not by sight. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Why are you hoping for what you see? There's a land that we are longing for, a heavenly home. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance, though. There it is. We anticipate it. We're waiting for it. We're excited for it. But we're also remaining steadfast. You know, my bags are packed. I'm prepared to go, but I'm ready to stay too, right? So we wait. So we wait. We wait for you. And we encourage and we edify one another. That's Hebrews 10. Let's hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another. Stir one another up in love and good works. Why? Because the day is approaching. The day is approaching, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, so much more, as you see the day approaching. That means it's supposed to increase even more. And the church is going the opposite way. Churches are looking for reasons not to get together. It's hard every week, folks, being out in the world. And when we come together, there's a building up that happens. Yes. Your inner man should be soaring when you leave here.
Yes.
When you're praising and you're worshiping, not because it's about you, it's about him.
Yeah.
It's about him.
Amen.
And yes, you have to be steadfast even when things don't make sense. And we all sit there and wonder, like, why? Why is this happening to me? Why did this happen? And sometimes God's plan doesn't make sense to us. It doesn't. And this is truth, folks. The activity of God comes in unusual ways because his ways are not ours. God often sets up the scenes that appear very negative in the front end, right? But however, in all his glory, in all his wisdom, he's orchestrated it for his glory, right? Joseph goes and gets sold into slavery, goes into Egypt, right? And because he's there, he then allows the huge famine that comes and it saves Israel. But then by way, Joseph dies, and then a new Pharaoh comes into play, and all of a sudden now the Israelites are in bondage. Now all of a sudden, you know, God works in awesome ways, and we see the seven or the ten curses or whatever it is that he plagues. Jeez, wow. I had a hard time thinking of that one. The plagues of Egypt, right? And then they go, and all of a sudden they're at the Red Sea, right? And then Pharaoh's army pursues. It looks really bad. All of a sudden God makes a way, right? Without Lazarus' death, there was no raising to life, right? Without Goliath, you don't have this little teenage boy that's probably no taller than Jack take on this champion Goliath, who would eventually be King David, who then we learned last week was the Lord of the breakthrough as we heard the marching armies on top of the trees. Without Peter stepping out of the boat in faith, we wouldn't see how someone outside of Jesus could walk on water.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that like? Yeah, I know he sunk, but he still did it. Without Judas's betrayal, the betrayal of a kiss, we wouldn't see them, the turning over, the trial, the crucifixion. Only then for Jesus, in all fashion, in all his style and glory, conquer death, raised from the grave. What an awesome God we serve. These events and all the other ones, that's why you got to get in the Old Testament too. You don't unhitch from the Old Testament, like some pastor says. You get in here and you read these awesome stories of faith that it gives you roots.
Amen.
Deep,
yes.
Deep. So when the sun gets hot, you don't wither away.
Right.
Those roots grow deep. Why does a tree's roots grow deep? It's trying to find the source of water. Those events build our faith. And look in your own life. And how God has seen you through. God wants to show up in ways you and I cannot imagine in these last days. This is that which is prophesied. Do you understand the power that's inside us? And his demonstrating his power and through it, what will happen is you will draw men, not to you, to him. John said it, John the Baptist, he said, for those in Christ, you've been baptized by fire.
Yeah.
By fire.
Wow.
I'm baptizing you with water. There's one who's more worthy than me that's coming, and he's going to baptize you with fire. Ooh, man, do you remember the time when the Holy Spirit works through you, it's like fire.
Yeah.
It's like fire. Elijah, when he called down fire from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, and it turned the people back to God.
Yeah.
And if you would allow the Holy Spirit to work through you, perhaps you will see others turn back to God or turn to God for the first time. And we can be a part of that. It takes surrender. We need to trust God's plan, even when it doesn't make sense. When God's will is perplexing, the test comes in how you respond to it. Are you trusting in Him, or are you questioning the plan since it's not your own? Guilty. Guilty. The key is to trust Him. Again, Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. There it is again. The shield. He's our shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. And with my song, I praise Him. Because of trust in the Lord, it says in the scripture that we are helped. And what comes out of that is joy. Our hearts rejoice with a song. Listen, there's a time coming, and I think it's in Isaiah talks about, where the songs of the earth will cease. The wine won't flow. The songs will cease, but not for the song of the believer. Our song is alive because our Savior is alive. It is a living hope. We have a living hope. That's the message we convey to others. It's alive. Blessed. 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away. That's the difference of that which you have in this earth. That stuff is going to go away. It's going to get consumed in the fire. But this inheritance, it's reserved in heaven for you.
Yes.
You have an inheritance.
Amen. Oh.
How awesome is that?
Yes. Wow.
And His aren't limited by trust agreements or anything else.
No.
And listen, it says, who are kept?
What?
Who's kept? We are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Ooh, what is going to be awesome. That last time. It's a living hope, folks. It's not an idol that's wood and stubble. It's not in the grave. He's not in the grave anymore. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. He conquered the grave. It says we are kept by the power of God through faith. That is why it's now faith. That is why it's present day faith. It's not faith from tomorrow. It's not faith on yesterday. If you're relying on yesterday, you're out of it. You need today's faith. Now, today. He empowers us. He sustains us by the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave. That's the keeping power. It's the third part of the Trinity. He's the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And our God, our hope in God, our hope is surer than the sun rising and setting tomorrow. Do you understand that? The sun is going to cease, but the sun, S-O-N, is not going to. Do you understand? He is going to be the light for us. God's word is the truth. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it? Will he not do it? Will he not make it good? His word does not return void. That's one of my favorite scriptures. God is not a man that he should lie. Other men lie. Politicians lie. God is not a man that he should lie. Psalm 130 verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. We have an all-powerful God, and our hope is Him. And we serve a God that provides, even for you who are in a season of lack. We just did this, talked about Abraham recently, where Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up to a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." He will provide. It wasn't just Mount Moriah. It was a foreshadow of Him providing on Calvary. His son, Jesus Christ, giving up. He did not even spare His own son for us. How special are you that he would do that for us to make a way? He is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. We need to understand that even more today. When the swirl of events go around and you start thinking, how am I going to provide? How am I going to make ends meet? You need to understand Jehovah Jireh is your God. Yeah. He's the God who provides. Yeah. But there's a condition on that. Jesus said, seek my kingdom first. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all those other things that you need will be added unto you. He'll provide. Mm-hmm. Yes. It may not be wants. It may not be wants. But he will meet your needs. He will meet your needs. Yes. Things are getting expensive today. Yeah. He'll make a way. Because our song of hope comes from the fact knowing that our God is faithful. Psalm 36, verse 5 says, your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Isaiah 25 says, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You are called into fellowship with the Son of God. And of course, you know Revelation 19. It's the one who's called faithful and true. Mm. Yep. My battery's dying here. Mm-hmm. You guys enjoying this?
Yeah.
I hope so. All right. I'm enjoying it. I enjoyed putting it together. Our hope is in Jesus, because he will set things right. All the toil that we have, he will set things right. He is faithful and true. So I have a faithful hope in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen.
Amen.
He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He died for us. He rose again. And he said, hey, I'm going. I'm going to go. I'm going to make a place for you. John 14, where Katie was just at, right? I'm going. Listen, actually, he starts in verse 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Anybody here have troubled hearts? Yeah. He's saying you. Beloved, Jesus is speaking. He's speaking to us through his scripture. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Listen, it looks really bad out there. The circumstances look really grave. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, has he gone? Yes, he has gone. I will come again.
Yes.
There it is.
Yes.
There it is. The Lord's coming again. He's coming in the clouds. Yes. His trumpet, the trumpet of God's going to sound. That's the one thing that the Christian's looking for, listening for. Right, Brian? We were talking about that. And Cindy and Sue. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Forever will be by his side. Amen?
Amen.
And that song of hope comes from the courage that the Lord instills inside us. Mm-hmm. Listen, when others' hearts are failing them, you can rely on God who gives strength to the weak. He gives strength to the weak. Do you understand? Courage when fear looks to paralyze you. Courage for me when it looks to paralyze me. Psalm 31:24 says, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. There it is. Let not your heart be troubled. Right? Yeah. Be of good courage. He'll strengthen your heart. And you don't need to do 50 minutes of cardio to get it strengthened. All you who hope in the Lord. There's a condition again. All you who hope in the Lord. My hope is in there. He's going to strengthen my heart. If you're not a believer, then the only hope is in this world and the plans of men, which are wretched and miserable at best. But as Christians, we can take heart and we can be courageous because God is our hope. You're an overcomer because of that. Our hope is a sure thing, and we won't be consumed by worry, right? Truth is, tribulations come, right? In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, right? He's overcome. So that as a result of that, we get a peace that passes all understanding. God gives us a peace that man can't understand why you're not shaken or rattled to the core when things look so crummy. And as a result, you get rest too. There's a rest that comes. It's a supernatural rest that you get. We oftentimes can wrestle with tomorrow when we go to sleep. We're thinking about all the things we have to get done, all the things that we need to be doing. And that oftentimes you get frustrated doing that, you know, because we're thinking of like all the tasks in the week and we're not resting in the moment and abiding in Him. And we're thinking of all this striving I got to be doing, all the boxes I got to check off. It could throw us out of rhythm. Worrying about tomorrow is borrowing from tomorrow. It's borrowing the trouble from tomorrow. And you're spending it on that very moment, that now, that today. When you're sitting there super frustrated, you're borrowing with interest from tomorrow, and you're applying it to your life today. And it makes it worse. Listen, I'm speaking to myself here too, folks. Like, I'm not immune to any of this stuff. I sit there very often going through my mind of like, how am I going to do this? And what am I going to do here? And how am I going to pay this? And how am I going to do that, Lord? And He's like, hey, Martha, quit all the busyness over here. Choose the right portion like Mary has and abide at my feet. Rest in me. Rest in me. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Well, if my mind is sitting there thinking on him, then it's not thinking about tomorrow. You're not neglecting your responsibilities, but I'm just saying, don't focus on those things. He's got it all under control. He's sovereign king, right? My hope is in you. My hope is in you. It's not in my own strength. It's not in my employer. It's not in my retirement fund. It's not in my inheritance on this earth. Our hope is in God. The sovereign control, right? Proverbs 21, verse 1 to 2. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. It's all about the heart condition, right? So, we have a song of hope. We should be letting that song of hope rise, okay? It should be rising because we have the blessed hope. We have the blessed hope. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, okay? Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That hope is today. It's now. We are in the season for seizing. Do you understand?
Yes.
Take heart. Be watchful. Be about the Father's business. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear what's going on. Don't be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one that goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He's the Lord of the breakthrough. The Lord of hosts is with us. He is with us until that trumpet sounds or you breathe your last breath. And then immediately you're going to be standing before him. Our entire walk, as I'm closing here, our entire walk as a believer is based on hope. Is that the song that comes out of you?
Yeah.
A hope that goes beyond this life and it extends throughout all eternity. Everything you or we as a Christian, it flows from this. Why are we praying? Because we have a blessed hope. Why are you witnessing? Because there's a blessed hope. Why are you sharing to a dark world? You want them to have the same hope that you have. Why do you endure hardship and trials and persecution? Because there's hope that there's not going to be any of that someday. Because he's making all things new. Why did many who have gone before us sacrifice and give up their life and serve and live, like lose their lives all the way to the point? All the disciples, right? All of them died except for John as martyrs. What's that video? We're going to die as martyrs. We're going to do that when we get riches right now. No. They're all excited. It's one of the best stuff. It's the atheist version of like how the conspiracy of why the disciples believe in, Jesus. So it's pretty funny. The reason for all of that, the reason why someone gives up their life is because they have hope. They know that if they breathe their last breath, if they are in Christ, they will stand before him. And receive that inheritance.
Yes.
And I'll leave you with this, which is Romans 15:13. It says, now may the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Haynes, a word from Pastor Haynes, and he shared this, and I thought it was so relevant. He said, trust is your open door to receive what I have for you. It is also the pillow you rest your head on. It is the oil in your lamp, even during the midnight hour. Trust is what will cause your hope to be renewed each morning. I have you in the palm of my hand each moment, and I will bring you to your appointed hour. My power is all around in what you touch, feel, see, hear, and imagine. You are never at a place where you cannot draw from my power, no matter what circumstance you may face. When you command something to shift, it will in my name. Come boldly and speak with authority, the authority I have placed within you. You are the called, and I have called you to rule and reign with me. Religion will look to limit and bind what I will do through you, but I have placed no boundary on how high or how far you can go with my strength. You are not qualified because of what you have done, right or wrong, in your own efforts and works. I am the one who has called you, and I am the one in the lead, and I will never lead you astray. Others will try to fill your heads with fear, but I will fill you with hope. I already know what you will encounter in the days to come, and I am already a step ahead of you and will bring you through it yet again. I am all you need when you walk the road less traveled. I will not send you out where you are not fully prepared to go. Do not go by feelings, as you will never feel truly ready, but I know what I am doing. Embrace the path and be led by my Spirit. I have given you a fresh anointing that is flowing in you and through you. This is the season where the familiar will make a way for the unfamiliar. I will not only speak through you, but will also work through you in a mighty way. Amen.
Amen.
Let that song of hope rise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for the power of your word, the assurance that it has, and the strength that it gives to our heart with deep roots, Lord, that we can take it all the way to the bank. And I ask, Lord, that you would give us the opportunity to share the hope that is inside us, the reason for the hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.